Now let's think about killing. Can there ever be a justifiable reason for killing anything? Think about it. You'll find you need no outside authority to give you direction, no higher source to supply you with answers. If you think about it, if you look to see what you feel about it, the answers will be obvious to you and you will act accordingly. This is called acting on your own authority. It is when you act on the authority of others that you get yourself into trouble. Should states and nations use killing to achieve their political objectives? Should religions use killing to enforce their theological imperatives? Should societies use killing as a response to those who violate behavioral codes? Is killing an appropriate political remedy, spiritual convincer, or societal problem solver? Now, is killing something you can do if someone is trying to kill you? Would you use killing force to defend the life of a loved one? Someone you didn't even know? Is killing a proper form of defense against those who would kill if they're not in some other way stopped? Is there a difference between killing and murder? The state would have you believe that killing to complete a purely political agenda is perfectly defensible. In fact, the state needs you to take its word on this in order to exist as an entity of power. Religions would have you believe that killing to spread and maintain knowledge of and adherence to their particular truth is perfectly defensible. In fact, religions require you to take their word on this in order to exist as an entity of power. Society would have you believe that killing to punish those who commit certain offenses, these have changed through the years, is perfectly defensible. In fact, society must have you take its word for it in order to exist as an entity of power. Do you believe these positions are correct? Have you taken another's word for it? What does yourself have to say? There is no right or wrong in these matters, but by your decisions you paint a portrait of who you are. Indeed, by their decisions, your states and nations have already painted such pictures. By their decisions, your religions have created lasting, indelible impressions. By their decisions, your societies have produced their self-portraits, too. Are you pleased with these pictures? Are these the impressions you wish to make? Do these portraits represent who you are? Be careful of these questions. They may require you to think. Thinking is hard. Making value judgments is difficult. It places you at pure creation because there are so many times you'll have to say, I don't know, I just don't know. Yet still, you'll have to decide. And so you'll have to choose. You'll have to make an arbitrary choice. Such a choice, a decision coming from no previous personal knowledge, is called pure creation. And the individual is aware, deeply aware, that in the making of such decisions is the self created. Most of you are not interested in such important work. Most of you would rather leave that to others. And so most of you are not self created, but creatures of habit, other created creatures. Then, when others have told you how you should feel, and it runs directly counter to how you do feel, you experience a deep inner conflict. Something deep inside you tells you that what others have told you is not who you are. Now, where to go with that? What to do? The first place you go is to your religionists, the people who put you there in the first place. You go to your priests and your rabbis and your ministers and your teachers, and they tell you to stop listening to yourself. The worst of them will try to scare you away from it, scare you away from what you intuitively know. They'll tell you about the devil, about Satan, about demons and evil spirits and hell and damnation and every frightening thing they can think of to get you to see how what you were intuitively knowing and feeling was wrong, and how the only place you'll find any comfort is in their thought, their idea, their theology, their definitions of right and wrong, and their concept of who you are. The seduction here is that all you have to do to get instant approval is to agree. Agree and you have instant approval. Some will even sing and shout and dance and wave their arms and hallelujah. That's hard to resist. Such approval, such rejoicing that you've seen the light, that you've been saved. Approvals and demonstrations seldom accompany inner decisions. Celebrations rarely surround choices to follow personal truth. In fact, quite the contrary. Not only many others fail to celebrate, they may actually subject you to ridicule. What? You're thinking for yourself? You're deciding on your own? You're applying your own yardsticks, your own judgments, your own values? Who do you think you are, anyway? And indeed, that is precisely the question you are answering. But the work must be done very much alone, very much without reward, without approval, perhaps without even any notice. And so you ask a very good question. Why go on? Why even start off on such a path? What is to be gained from embarking on such a journey? Where is the incentive? What is the reason? The reason is ridiculously simple. There is nothing else to do.
What do you mean?
I mean, this is the only game in town. There's nothing else to do. In fact, there's nothing else you can do. You are going to be doing what you are doing for the rest of your life, just as you've been doing it since birth. The only question is whether you'll be doing it consciously or unconsciously. You see, you cannot disembark from the journey. You embarked before you were born. Your birth is simply a sign that the journey has begun. So the question is not, why start off on such a path? You have already started off. You did so with the first beat of your heart. The question is, do I wish to walk this path consciously or unconsciously, with awareness or lack of awareness, as the cause of my experience or as the effect of it? For most of your life, you've lived at the effect of your experiences. Now you're invited to be the cause of them. That is what is known as conscious living. That is what is called walking in awareness. Now, many of you have walked quite some distance, as I've said. You've made no small progress. So you should not feel that after all these lives, you've only come to this. Some of you are highly evolved creatures with a very sure sense of self. You know who you are, and you know what you'd like to become. Furthermore, you even know the way to get from here to there. That's a great sign. That's a sure indication.
Of what?
Of the fact that you now have very few lives left.
Is that good?
It is, now, for you. And that is so because you say it is so. Not long ago, all you wanted to do was stay here. Now all you want to do is leave. That's a very good sign. Not long ago, you killed things. Bugs, plants, trees, animals, people. Now you cannot kill a thing without knowing exactly what you're doing and why. That's a very good sign. Not long ago, you lived life as though it had no purpose. Now you know it has no purpose, save the one you give it. That's a very good sign. Not long ago, you begged the universe to bring you truth. Now you tell the universe your truth. And that's a very good sign. Not long ago, you sought to be rich and famous. Now you seek to be simply and wonderfully yourself. And not so very long ago, you feared me. Now you love me. Enough to call me your equal. All of these are very, very good signs.
Oh, gosh, you make me feel so good.
You should feel good. Anybody who uses gosh in a sentence can be all bad.
You really do have a sense of humor, don't you?
I invented humor.
Yes, you've made that point. Okay, so the reason for going on is that there's nothing else to do. This is what's happening here.
Precisely.
Then may I ask you, does it at least get any easier?
Oh, my darling friend. It is so much easier for you now than it was three lifetimes ago, I can't even tell you. Yes, it does get easier. The more you remember, the more you are able to experience, the more you know, so to speak. The more you know, the more you remember. It is a circle. So yes, it gets easier, it gets better, it becomes even more joyful. But remember, none of it has been exactly a drudge. I mean, you've loved all of it, every last minute. Oh, it's delicious, this thing called life. It's a scrumptious experience, no?
Well, yes, I suppose.
You suppose? How much more scrumptious could I have made it? Are you not being allowed to experience everything? The tears, the joy, the pain, the gladness, the exaltation, the massive depression, the win, the lose, the draw. What more is there?
A little less pain, perhaps.
Less pain without more wisdom defeats your purpose. Does not allow you to experience infinite joy, which is what I am. Be patient. You are gaining wisdom, and your joys are now increasingly available without pain. That, too, is a very good sign. You are learning, remembering how, to love without pain, to let go without pain, to create without pain, to even cry without pain. Yes, you're even able to have your pain without pain, if you know what I mean.
I think I do. I'm enjoying even my own life dramas more. I can stand back and see them for what they are, even laugh.
And you don't call this growth?
I suppose I do.
So then keep on growing, my son. Keep on becoming. And keep on deciding what you want to become in the next highest version of yourself. Keep on working toward that. Keep on. Keep on. This is God work we're up to, you and I. So keep on.